One of the great psalms in Hebrew Psalter, in the Hebrew Psalter, is Psalm 7. It's a psalm in which the psalmist is praying to the Lord as the heavenly judge, wanting him to protect him from the attack of his foes, who are really ruthless. The context might be that of Cush, who was a follower or a Benjamite, one that belonged to the house of Saul, or who was at least the tribe of Saul, who was a strong supporter of him against David. We're not sure, but that could possibly be the context of what's going on here. But it's a prayer that can be applied to any situation in which one is under constant attack by a ruthless type of individual or person. It begins, Shigayon le David, Asher Shar le Adonai al Divrei Chush, Ben Yemini. Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. And we actually begin but with a word, Shigayon, that could be like a song that is very sort of passionate in rhythm. We're not exactly sure, but that could be the meaning. The root shaga means to wonder, but we're just not sure. But that's a possible meaning. And then it belongs to David, a song of David, which the relative pronoun shar, he sang. Notice shar is a cal perfect third masculine singular from the root shar, which he sang to the Lord concerning al divrei chush, concerning chush. Now, devrei actually could simply mean concerning the words or the deeds of Chush. Chush basically was one who belonged to the tribe that Saul belonged to. He was a Benjamite, we are told here. And so it might have been one who was opposing David during the time of his wanderings, during the time when he was under attack by Saul. It begins then in verse 2, Adonai Elohai, Becha Chasiti, Hoshieni Mikol Rodefai, Vahatsileni. He begins by saying, O Lord, my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all of those that pursue me and deliver me. Notice we have the address to the Lord, almost like a vocative of address. O Lord, my God. Elohai has that pathak yod ending, which is put on the plural noun here, pronominal suffix, first person singular, that goes with plural nouns. So, O Lord, my God, in you, notice the preposition be, followed by the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, in cha. In you, chasiti, I have taken refuge. Notice chasiti is from the root chasa, to take refuge. It's a lamed hay, or a final hay form, and the hay has elided or dropped out. The yod appears because historically these were final yod forms, like chasai, and so that yod is reappearing here, and it's a cal perfect first common singular from chasa. So in you I have taken refuge. And so then we have the imperative ho shi'eni. Ho shi'eni actually means save me. And notice, when we look at this word, hoshieni, it's from the root yasha, to save. And historically, the word yasha, or the verb, was a peva verb, vasha, and this is appearing again in this hifil form. This is a hifil imperative. Historically, it would have had a hey with a pathak under it, followed by the vav, which would change into a long holam vav. That is, ow becomes o. And this is what probably happened here historically. So it's an imperative, a hifil, second masculine singular from yasha. And notice then we have the pronominal suffix, ni, preceded by the hinge, the tseri. So save me, first person singular pronominal suffix in this imperatival hifil form. Save me from all those who pursue me. Notice the min here is from the nun as assimilated into the next consonant. So save me from all those who are pursuing me. Notice here we have the kol, meaning all, or everyone. Rodafai is from the root radaf, to pursue. And notice with the O-class vowel in the first syllable, we're looking at a cal active participle, masculine singular, from radaf. And it's plural because we know from the pronominal suffix with the pathak yod, first common singular, it goes on plural forms. So from all of those who pursue me and deliver me, vahatsileni. Notice, vahatsileni, deliver me, is from the root, natsal, to deliver. It is a peinun verb, and that nun has assimilated into the tsati, and the a, the pathak, a vowel under the he, is showing that we're looking at a hifil again, imperative second masculine singular from natsal. Hansil became hatsil with the progressive assimilation of the nun of the root assimilating into the tsate. And notice we have a tsere, a hinge, followed by the ni pronominal suffix, first common singular. So he's saying, deliver me, rescue me, I need help. This is a prayer that we all pray sometimes when we feel under Satan's attack, or people have been very hurtful and maybe abusive. We pray to the Lord for help. Our refuge is in the Lord. It's not in man. It's in Him. And so if this is David and Saul and the Cushite hurting Saul or attacking him. David is praying that he would be delivered from all those who are pursuing him and is asking the Lord for deliverance. And then he goes on in verse 3, Pin yitrof arye nafshi porek ve'ein matzil. He says, lest he tear my soul as a lion. Literally, lest as a lion he tear my soul, rending it, and there is none who is able to deliver. Notice, as we look at this form here, notice the first word, lest he tear. Yitrov is the simple cow imperfect, third masculine singular from tarath, to tear. Notice the I-O vowel pattern in this imperfect form. And then, ke arye, as a lion. Arye means lion. And ke is your preposition as. And then nafshi is from the noun nefesh, meaning soul or life. And notice in construct it becomes nafsh, and the e, the seri yod, is your first common singular pronominal suffix onto this noun. So lest he tear as a lion my soul, porek ve'ein matzil. Notice as he goes on here, porek means to snatch or to tear away. Lest he tear away would be a good way of translating it, tearing away and picking me up like a rag doll and tearing me apart. He's looking now in a sort of a collective way at the enemy that is pursuing him. It's a cow, a masculine participle from parak. Notice the O vowel, the cholam, followed by the sere. And there is none, the ain, that is just your conjunction, ain is not any or none. Matzil is a participle, a hifil participle, masculine singular, from the root natsal, to deliver. And notice we have the A-I vowel pattern in this hifil participial form, and the nun has assimilated into the tsate in this pay nun verb. So matzil became matzil. So tearing to pieces, and there is none who is able to deliver. In other words, he feels totally powerless in the presence of the enemies that are coming against him like a lion and that are tearing him to pieces. And there doesn't seem to be anyone that can deliver. Sometimes circumstances in life can become overwhelming. And you may feel that that things are so great that we feel like we're being torn apart, maybe by hurtful comments. Well, this is David experiencing, if we take it, Saul and his cohorts hurting David. He's describing how he feels, and he feels that there is none to deliver him. So he's giving his dangerous plight of what he's going through. But then he wants the Lord, he comes to the Lord, and he wants the Lord to know that he is not guilty of this, that he is innocent in spite of what's happening. So as we read verse 4, David then goes on to plead to the Lord, Adonai Elohai, im asiti zot, im yesh avel bechapai. O Lord, my God, he says, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands. Notice, again, we have the address to the Lord that we saw in verse 2. O Lord, my God, im asiti, if, here we have the conditional particle opening a conditional phrase, asiti is from asa, a lamed he verb, again, in which the he has elided or dropped out, and the yod appears since it was historically asai, a lamed yod form. It's just your cow perfect, first common singular with the T suffix. If I have done this, zot is simply an adjective, demonstrative pronoun. If I have done this thing, then if there is iniquity in my hands, again, im yesh, avel, avel is a noun that means iniquity. So if there is iniquity in, and then we have your preposition be, followed by the noun chaf, or kaf, in the plural form, with the pronominal suffix, the comet's yod, put upon a plural noun. So if there is iniquity in my hands, and the implication is, Lord, I'm innocent. If there's any iniquity in my hands, if I have done something wrong, but I haven't. In other words, he's the victim of those who are mistreating him, but he's innocent. And I'm reminded of Joseph, what he went through, the same kind of an experience. And in life, you may experience that. Anyone can experience that, even though they've done good, people have done good, they may experience the opposite from someone that wants to be hurtful. So he goes on in verse 5, as he continues to protest, we could say, his innocency in verse 5. Im gamalti sholami ra va'a halitza sorari rekam. That is, if I have requited or recompensed the one who was at peace with me, if I have actually requited him or done recompense to him that was at peace with me, in other words, if I have actually been unkind to someone who really was at peace with me, that would be a different issue, I believe David is saying. Again, we have the im introducing this conditional question or statement. Gamalti is just your cow perfect again, first common singular from gamal, to requite or to recompense. And notice shalom, the one at peace with me. Notice shalom. Shalom means to be at peace. And so if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. Shalom, I'm taking as simply your cal active participle with the O vowel from shalom, to be at peace. And notice the E is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. So if I have requited or recompensed the one at peace with me with evil, ra means evil, and probably we can just understand the preposition bait here with an evil thing. If I have done an evil thing, or if I have spoiled my adversaries without a cause. Literally, if I have delivered him over to some kind of judgment, my adversaries, without a cause. Notice, halatza is from the root halatz, which actually means to deliver over. And as we look at this particular form, notice we're looking at a PL, imperfect, first common singular from chalatz. Notice we have a kamatz, a composite, hatef pathak, followed by a pathak, the doubling of the lamed. So we're looking at a classic PL form here in the imperfect. So, or if I have delivered over to some type of punishment that my adversary didn't deserve, that's another issue, but I haven't done that. Tsorarai means the one who is my adversary. Tsorar means to be in adversity against someone. And sororai is, your cal participial form, masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix, the hirik yod, first common singular, my adversary, without a cause. Rekam is your adverb, simply meaning without any cause to that, or emptily, for no reason. So what he's really saying, I'm really innocent. If I have requited the one who was at peace with me, or recompensed the one who was at peace with me with an evil thing, if I have delivered my adversary over unto that which is without any regard, and basically I have not done anything wrong, is really what he's saying. But if I had, that would be a different issue. But I haven't, is the implication. If I had done that, then he goes on to say, then let my enemy pursue my soul. But I haven't done that. So as we go to verse 6, as he continues then, having not done this, however, if I had, then Yeradov, Oyed Nafshi, the Yaseg, the Yermos, La Aratz Chayai, Uchabodi, La Afar Yashkein. And so he says that basically, then let my enemy pursue my soul, and let him overtake it. Notice, Yeradov, basically here probably should be read Yerdov, as the cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from Radav, let the enemy pursue my soul. Nafshi is from Nefesh. Again, it's in construct, Nafsh with the pronominal suffix E, first common singular. Ve'yaseg, and let him overtake it. Nasag means to overtake, and this is an A, Tseri vowel pattern. We're looking at a Hifil then, imperfect, third masculine singular from Nasak. These perfects, these imperfects here, seem to suggest what we might call a precative. By that we mean sort of let him do something, like a wish that type of thought. Some speak of this as a precative use of the imperfect. And then let him v'yirmos la'aretz chayai, then let him tread down my life to the earth. V'yirmos is from ramas, to tread down. It's the cow imperfect, third masculine singular, used in a precative way with the vav conjunction. La'aretz, to the earth, chayai, my life. My life is from the plural chayim. And notice, I, again, is your pronominal suffix, first common singular, put upon a plural noun. So, let him tread down to the earth my life. U'chabodi la'afar yashkein selah. And indeed, the vav here is something like, indeed, my glory. Kavod means glory. It's the noun in construct with E, the pronominal suffix, first common singular. And my glory, la'afar, to the dust. La is just your preposition to. Afar means dust. Yishkon, or yashkein, means let him lay my glory, we could say, or cause my glory to dwell to the dust. And then he has Selah. Shakain is from Shakan, literally to dwell. And this is where we get the word Shekhinah, or Shakan, to dwell. And so what he's really saying here, as we look at it, basically, if I've done anything wrong by requiting one who was at peace with me with evil, or by doing iniquitously, or spoiling my enemies, then, if that's the case, then let the enemy pursue me, let him tread my life down to the earth, and let him lay my glory, or cause my glory to dwell in the dust. But that's not the case. In other words, he's not guilty. He is innocent. And a lot of times, the psalmist will plead his innocency, and this is what we're seeing here. And what he's really saying then is, I'm really not deserving what I'm getting. And often in life, we all can feel this way sometimes. But we're, again, to go to the Lord. And so he prays for the Lord's intervention at a time like this, or for the Lord to help out, to arise and help him. So as we read on in verses 7 and following, he says, Kuma Adonai be'apecha. Arise, O Lord, and lift up. In other words, lift up for me. And so he says, Kuma Adonai be'apecha. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Hinase be'avrot sorerai. And that is, as he continues, lift up yourself in indignation against my adversaries, and awaken the urah elai mishpat sivita. That is, awaken, O Lord, unto me the judgment that you have commanded, mishpat sivita. Notice, as we look at this in terms of its grammar and its meaning, he's asking the Lord to arise, to help him. And notice, kuma is from the biradical root kum, to arise, and it is an imperative, second masculine singular, arise, O Lord. Here we have that address again, that vocative-like address, in your anger. Be is your preposition in, af means anger, and ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself in your indignation. Hinase be'avrot sorerai, in indignation, we should say, with or against, understood, my adversaries. Notice, as we look at the form hinase in verse 7, in the second part clause of verse 7, we're looking at a nifal imperative, be lifted up. Notice the nifal imperative has an I-A vowel pattern instead of an A-I, which is your hifu imperative. And so, historically, it would have been in-na-se, where the noon of the hifu has assimilated into the noon of the root, causing a doggish forte, and the I-A vowel pattern. So, be lifted up, imperative again, in the nifal form, in indignation. Notice the verb or the noun avrot means indignation, and actually the root here is avra, meaning like an outburst of anger or fury. So he's asking the Lord in this time to help him out. So lift up yourself in indignation against my adversary. Sorerai. Notice the form here. Sarar means to vex or to oppose. We have the O-class vowel followed by the comet's yod prefix. So we're looking at a cal active participle, masculine singular, from sarar, with the I suffix. So be lifted up in furies. That ot is a plural form, feminine, plural, with the ot ending, from avra, with or against, understood, my adversaries. Ve'ura elai mishpat sivita. And arise, or awaken for me the judgment that you have commanded. Notice Ur means to wake up or to awaken, and this is followed by Elai, unto me or for me, the preposition El plus the pronominal suffix in the I, and that I pronominal suffix, the pathak yod, appears with El a lot. So arise for me, the judgment, mishpat, the noun, masculine singular, that you have commanded. Notice tzivita is from tzava. It's a lamed he verb. The he has dropped out again. We've seen quite a few of these in this chapter. And the ta is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So this is just your cal perfect, or excuse me, pl perfect, second masculine singular from the root sava. Notice the I vowel pattern, doubling of the vav, indicates that we're looking at a PL form. So arise for me the judgment that you have commanded. So he's asking the Lord to help him out, to rescue him from what he's going through, to arise, to awaken, and not let him go through this constant bombardment of attack from those who are seeking to hurt him, is what David is saying. So then he goes on in verse 8 as he continues to ask the Lord for help. Let the congregation of the peoples compass you about, and over them return on high. Notice in verse 8, as we continue that verse, V'adat le'umim tesova vecha, V'aleha lemarom shuva. So we would translate it, the congregation of the peoples. Notice V'adat. Ada means congregation. It's a noun, feminine noun, singular, put in construct with the at ending. And then we have of the peoples. Le'um means people. Im makes it plural. So let the congregation of the peoples, again we have another, what appears to be a precative use of the imperfect, tesova vecha. Let the congregation of the peoples encompass about you. Notice, tesovavecha is what we would we see here with that holam, a vav after the samig, as a polel form. A polel imperfect, second masculine singular. Let the congregation of the peoples compass you. I'm sorry, it's a third feminine singular, cal or polel imperfect from savav. So let the congregation of the peoples encompass you about. And that cha is your pronominal suffix added to this root, savav. And then he goes on to say, va'alecha, and over them return on high, lamarom shuva, and over them. Notice al means upon or over, and over them, actually over it, that ha is probably a collective suffix put on to al, applied to over it, I should say, singular, applied to adat, the congregation. So over it, return on high. Notice to the height. Lamarom is the preposition to with the article. Marom means height. And shuva is the cal imperative, second masculine singular from shuv, to make an about face or to return on high. So it seems that what the psalmist is doing here, he wants the Lord, who is judge, to really bring in the whole family, the whole human family. And he's calling that all would come and submit to his judgment. Everybody submit to the judgment of the Lord. So he's moving from his particular struggle to almost a universal appeal here, it looks like. And over them return to on high, that God then is to go back, or is pictured returning to heaven to sit on his throne of judgment. And so in the midst of talking about his individual plight, he looks at what appears to be the eschatological kind of universal final judgment that God is going to bring. And so it's interesting as he moves from his local situation to apply it in a universal kind of way. And then he goes on in verse 9, continues to describe what the Lord is doing, and he says, Adonai Yadin Amim, Shovteni Adonai Ketzidki Uchetumi Alai. So in verse 9, O Lord, who minister, the one who is ministering judgment of the peoples, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity. In other words, he now comes back to directly addressing the Lord as the judge of the world about his own situation again. And he says, O Lord, here we have the address to the Lord, you will judge Yadin, may you judge. And then notice we have the Cal imperfect third masculine singular from Dean to judge. O Lord, the one who judges, or he will judge the peoples. Notice Amim is just your plural, masculine plural from Am. So the one who ministers judgment, O Lord, actually, he ministers judgment. The Lord, maybe we could translate it that way, he ministers judgment to the peoples. Judge me, O Lord. Notice Shofteni is from Shafat, to judge. And this is just your Cal imperative, second masculine singular from Shafat, with your pronominal suffix, ni, preceded by the tseri, the helping vowel, judge me, O Lord. In other words, judge me and look at my righteousness and judge me according to that. Ketzit ki uchetumi alai. Judge me according to my righteousness. Notice ke means according to, tzedek means righteousness, and notice it's in construct with E here, my righteousness, and according to my integrity. The noun tam means integrity, and here it's tomb, I should say, tomb, with your preposition ke, and your pronominal suffix added to it in the E, and according to my righteousness, that is upon me, or that is in me. And so he's asking the Lord to be fair in judgment and look at him. He appeals to the Lord to judge that he be judged, knowing that as the judge of the universe, he will get a fair judgment, and that will be that he is innocent, and that he does not deserve the treatment that he is getting in the context here. And so then he goes on in verse 10 to continue his prayer unto the Lord. Notice, Yigmurna ra reshaim utechunen sadik uvochen lebot uchelayot Elohim sadik. Notice he says, uvochen, O Lord, let now be measured out, gamar. Let it be measured out now, evil upon the wicked ones, and that you might establish the righteous. Who are you? For you're the righteous judge, the one who tries the hearts and the kidneys, O Lord. Notice as we look at verse 10, as he continues, he says, Lord, I want you to yigmar, to come to an end, actually, is really what the root means, from gamar, and so that there might be a fullness, where it comes to the end, that is your judgment, that a full measure of evil, ra, in your judgment, might come to the wicked, seems to be understood here. And reshaim comes from rasha, which means wicked. So, oh, that a full measure of evil might come to the wicked, or we could even translate this something like, let the evil of the wicked ones now come to an end. And again, we have this precative use of yigmor in this cow imperfect third masculine singular. And so we could see it that way, let the evil of the wicked ones come to an end, because you're the righteous judge and you see what's going on. And I need your help, Lord, and that you would establish the righteous. And he, of course, is righteous. Utechonen tzadik. Notice he's again asking the Lord in a precative way to establish him who is righteous, who is the one who is tzadik. And this root, techonen, is from kun, to establish. Again, it is your poel imperfect second masculine singular from kun. And in the, it's interesting, a poel form develops because you cannot double the middle radical. And it's looking at intensity. And so, where most peels can be doubled, when you have a biradical root, like kun, what you do, you double or geminate the last consonant. So that's how we end up with techonen in this polel form. So he says, may you, O Lord, establish the righteous. Who are you? For you are the righteous judge that tries the hearts and reins. Even the one, we could say, bochein, is your cow active participle masculine singular from bachan, to try. Debod means hearts. It's from lave, and it's feminine plural with the ot ending, and it looks at the minds, the intellect, the inner thought life. And u chelayot. Now, u chelayot is the feminine plural form from chilya, which means kidney, and notice it's feminine plural with the oat, the kidneys, the one who tries the hearts and the kidneys. This looks at the inner being of a person. You're the God that knows what's really going on inside, because you are the righteous God and the righteous judge. So what he's really praying for is that God, who can determine what's really inside man and in his heart, would see his innocency and help him. The one who is just here is David's prayer. And so following that, he then continues to describe the Lord as, "My shield is with the Lord. Magini El Elohim Moshiach Yishrei Lev." The one who saves the upright in heart. Notice in verse 11, the word for shield, magan, is looking at the Lord himself, who is the shield that the psalmist is praying for. He is his great protector, the one who protects him. So he says, "My shield," and that E is your pronominal suffix, "is upon God who saves Moshiach, the upright of heart." Moshiach is from the root Yashah, to save. And notice the mem here with the holam vav is showing a hifil, masculine singular participle. Moshiach became Moshiach. That A-W became a long O, with the furtive pathach under the ayin. And the upright of heart, notice yesher is upright. This is in construct, masculine plural, with the seriyod, with lev. So you're the one who saves the upright of heart. And my total dependence is upon you, who are willing to protect the upright of heart and the just. So he goes on then to talk about what the Lord will do in bringing judgment upon the wicked, upon those who don't live in a just way. And David is seeing that in what's going on in his own life with those who are pursuing him. And so it goes on, Elohim shofet tzadik, the Lord judges, or the Lord is a righteous judge, ve'el zo'em bechol yom, a God who is angry every day. Notice as we look at this form, or look at this verse, God, Elohim, is a righteous judge. Shofet means judge, the one who judges righteously, from shafat. Again, that O Tseri pattern, it's a cow-active participle from Shafat. And then Tzadik means righteous, the adjective. So we really have two nouns. The one who judges as a righteous one, or a righteous judge, that has sort of a participial-type form, but it is a noun. Shofet, or we could take it, actually I probably take it as a participle, the God who judges, who is righteous, understood. And then, yes, the, a God who has indignation all day, indignation against wickedness. Notice the is the conjunction yea, or indeed, el means God, and so aim is your cow active participle, masculine singular, from sa'am, which actually means sa'am, to be indignant or to be upset or angry. So a God who is indignant every day with wickedness. Call here with the yom means simply daily or every day, and be is just your preposition. And then he goes on to picture God's judgment if one does not turn from pursuing that which is wrong or evil. Im lo yashuv harbo yotosh. Notice, if a man turn not, he will wet his sword. Or literally, instead of wet, we really need to translate this sharpen. He will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. Kashto darak vayachoneneha. Notice, again, if one does not turn, he's saying, and yashuv is just your cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from the root shuv. Harbo is from cherub, meaning sword, and that o is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. Yotosh means to sharpen. He is sharpened. It's from latash, to sharpen. It's just your cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from latash. His bow, kashto, from keshet, meaning bow. Notice it's in construct with o here. His bow he has bent, from darak, your cow perfect, third masculine singular, and he has made it ready. Vayechoneneha. The root is from kun. Again, we have a polel, imperfect, third masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix, third feminine singular, in the a. So he has bent his bow, he has made it ready. It's picturing God adjudicating or judging the poor, and he's really upset with the wicked every day, is the thought. So he has prepared for him the weapons of destruction, or the weapons of death. Notice verse 14 as we continue. V'lo hechin kalei mavet chitzav ledor dolekim yifhal. Notice, and he has prepared for him. Kun is the verb, middle week, to prepare, and this is a hifil, third masculine singular, perfect, from hun. He has prepared for him kalei mavet. Kalei mavet would be arrows. He has made he has prepared for him weapons of death, actually. Kalei mavet. Notice, kalei here means like a weapon, and notice mavet means death. In other words, God is going to judge those who are opposing him as the final judge. And I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 20, the Lord will come back as a judge, and he will judge with the authority of his mouth when he returns. And then his arrows he has made sharp. Chitzav ledolekim yif'al. The word actually dalak here can mean burning ones. It's a cow active participle, nat masculine singular, from dalak, to burn. His arrows, the noun arrow, is basically in the masculine, in the plural form here, with your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, put on a plural noun. So chetz, arrow, is in the plural. His arrows, for burning ones, he has made. Ledolakim. In other words, like flaming arrows. And again, dolakim is your cow active participle from dalak, and yif'al is just your cow imperfect, third masculine singular. He has made. So he has made arrows for burning ones. It's looking at God. Really, the imagery here is God is coming as a judge. And his arrows are like burning, flaming ones. that he's going to judge the wicked, those who do evil and who are unwilling to do what the Lord would want them to do. This is really what I believe the psalmist is saying. And so he goes on to continue to describe the judgment in verse 15 as he continues to describe how the Lord is preparing this final judgment upon those who are unwilling to repent. Notice, Hine yechabel aven bechara amal v'yalit shaker. And so, behold, he travails in with iniquity. He conceives or gives birth to that which is a lie or mischief, a lie. He conceives or becomes pregnant with that which is a lie, that which is not true, in bringing judgment in a wrong way. We're speaking now of those that are doing evil. And then he not only brings forth falsehood or lie, he travails with iniquity, and he brings forth or conceives that which is amal, that which is iniquitous, and he brings forth a lie. So, as we look at this, Yechavel is your PL, imperfect, third masculine singular from Chabal, and Aven, Aven means iniquity, Vachara, and by the way, Havel means to travail in childbirth. Except here, it's doing it in an iniquitous way. And furthermore, he has conceived that which is harmful, the harm he's intended for others. He has conceived of that. We're talking about David's adversaries here, or adversary, sort of in a singular collective idea. And he has brought forth falsehood. Falsehood against David and charging him wrongly. And Yalad just means, is your cow perfect, third masculine singular. Shaker means falsehood. So what we're seeing here is that God is coming to judge, and he's looking at the unrighteous man who is constantly hatching up evil and wanting to hurt the psalmist. And basically we're looking at the language of childbirth, which is birthing evil rather than good. And he has digged a pit and he has hollowed it, but then he'll fall into the pit that he has made. So the enemy of David is going to fall into the pit that he has dug. Notice verse 16, as the psalmist goes on to describe what has happened here. It says, Bor kara v'yachperehu v'yapol b'shachat yif'al. That is, he has digged a pit. Bor is pit. Kara is just your cow perfect third masculine singular to dig. V'yachperehu, he has hollowed it. Hafar means to dig it out, made it like hollow by digging it out. So he has dug it out. He has digged a pit and hollowed it, dug it out. Notice, yach perehu is from hafar, which also means to dig, and it is, as you look at the vowel patterns, A-I, or A-Tseri, Pathak-Tseri, it's your hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular from Chafar, with the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the hu, in the hu. So he has hollowed it or digged it, and is fallen in the ditch which he made. But yipol b'shachat yifal. In other words, he falls in the pit, or the ditch, or the pit which he has made. Notice, vayipol is from nafal. It's a pay noon verb where the noon has assimilated into the pay. Yinpol becoming yipol. Cow imperfect, third masculine, singular. Into the pit, shachat means pit, which he's made. Yafal, just your cow imperfect again, third masculine, singular. So, this is the enemy of David, of the psalmist, has really hatched and planned evil and dug a pit, but then he will fall in the pit that he has dug. I'm thinking of Haman, for example, in the book of Esther. His mischief will return upon his own head. His iniquity will return on his own head. Vashuv amalo berosho. And his violence shall come upon his own crown of his head. Notice he goes on. Ba'al kod kodo chamaso yereg. Notice Yashuv is your cow imperfect, third masculine, singular in verse 17 from Shuv. And then Amalo, meaning his Amal, means like his evil or his iniquity, and O is your pronominal suffix, third masculine, singular, on to the preposition Beit Rosho, his head. O is your pronominal suffix, third masculine, singular. So his mischief or his iniquity will turn against him that he's been wanting to do against David or the psalmist upon his head. But al kod kodo, and upon the crown of his head. Kod kod means hairy crown or skull. Upon the crown of his head, his violence that he has planned will come down upon his own head, is the idea. Yered is just your cow imperfect, third masculine singular from Yarad. And Hamaso means violence, Hamas, and O is your pronominal suffix, second or third masculine singular. So the violence, the Hamaso, which he had planned, his violence, which he had planned against the psalmist, will come down upon his own head, he's saying. And so the psalmist concludes by giving thanks to the Lord, who is his vindicator, who is his the one that has redeemed him, so to speak, from this attack that he's gone through. Notice verse 18, Odeh Adonai Ketzitko V'azam V'azam mara shem Adonai Elyon. I will give thanks unto the Lord, who is my righteousness, according to his righteousness. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing to the name of the Lord Most High. Notice, Odeh is from Yada, to give praise. Again, it's a Pei-Vav form. Cow imperfect, first common singular from Yada. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness. Ke, the preposition according to. Tzedek means righteousness. And Tzidko, it's in construct. With O, your pronominal suffix, third masculine, singular. So I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. V'azamra, and notice we have this cohortative use here in the PL stem with the Hatef Pathak, followed by the Pathak, the doubling of the Mem, the middle radical. So I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Shem means name, and then Adonai Elyon means the Lord Most High. And so he's going to thank the Lord, who is the ruler, the judge of man, by carrying out just and fair judgment. One of the things we learn from this psalm is that the Lord is the heavenly judge. And as we look at the New Testament as Christians, we don't return evil for evil. We pray for our enemies and ask that the Lord's grace upon them, but we leave all judgment into the hands of the Lord. I think of the book of Romans, where in Romans 12, Paul says that we're to constantly be at peace with everyone, but we leave our life in the hands of the Lord, who ultimately is the final judge of all of us. And that is a beautiful conclusion, I believe, of this psalm, that He indeed is the righteous judge that will look upon everything with equity someday. Notice Paul writes these words, to no one render evil for evil, but looking in advance that which is good before all men. If possible, that which is out of you, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to wrath, which is, you turn it over to God. You don't avenge yourself. It is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And the Lord is the final judge. And therefore, we can appeal to Him in all of our lives to obey Him and to turn everything over to Him. This is a passage that Paul is quoting in verse 19, talking about the Lord, vengeance is mine, I will repay, from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. But then he says, here's what we're to do, but if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for by doing this you shall keep coals of fire upon his head. A quote from the Proverbs, Proverbs 25, 21 to 22. So he concludes by saying, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're to constantly do all the good we can to all the people we can, in every way we can, as long as we ever can. And someday, the Lord will be the final judge. He examines the hearts. He examines every part of us, and therefore we're to make sure that our heart is pure before the Lord and leave everything to Him, and our life should be spent in always doing good and owing no one anything except to love one another.